I wanted to hear from you all as well, to kind of check in with you and see what your understanding is of the principles. But also, I would just like to share again, you know, what it looks like to realize the simplicity of the principles. You know, like something that we were talking about earlier this morning, how sometimes it feels like the principles are so profound that we think, well, I can't get a handle on them, what they really mean. Mm-hmm. And that they're just kind of, you know, in la-la land, they're abstract. And on one hand, that's true. You know, we've also talked about that this morning, too, that there is a mystery to the principles. But at the same time, there's such a practicality. Mm-hmm. And I still hear people talking less than when you all first started the program about looking at thinking rather than looking at the fact that we think. And I thought it would be nice to hear from you, you know, what that looks like to you. If you're seeing more clearly just the power of that we think, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, what we continue to hear sometimes about thought recognition. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that term? Mm-hmm. In POM? You know, kind of sort of old history where people still talk about thought recognition. And it hit me the other day when I was hearing someone share how important thought recognition was to them, mm-hmm. that's nice. I mean, to even recognize that we think, that's excellent. But to realize that we think, again, it's like the difference between the word recognition, mm-hmm. and realization. There's a big difference there, isn't there? Mm-hmm. But sometimes I see that people get stuck in this thing, this term of thought recognition. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if, you know, anybody would like to share the difference they see between just seeing that we think rather than looking at what we're thinking about. You know, and just to explore that a little bit. Like when you were talking earlier, Alexander, and it kind of in our conversation at lunch the other day, it appeared to me that you really did have an insight about your thoughts being urgent. Mm-hmm. And when you realized that, what occurred for you? You know, could you just say a little bit more about that? Is there anything else that...
You know, the way I understand how my thinking is, it's the awareness. Okay, I think from day in and day out, I just do things and without really making some form of connection to why I'm doing it. You know, so for example, like when we have lunch, when we're talking about I do all this deadline, sense of urgency and all this kind of thing, and I, when I become aware that, you know, all these urgent thoughts are thoughts that, mm-hmm. I control, you know, that's a relief on one hand, and on the other hand, it's really empowering because I control it, you know. So I think the reason why I feel urgent is I feel like I need to rush is because I feel like I lost control. I have to beat the deadline in order to regain control. Mm-hmm. But once I realize that I can control this thought, then I regain that control. Mm-hmm. So that to me is the awareness about where the control made a difference.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happened when you realized that, mm-hmm. when you became aware of that, what was the result of that?
I calmed down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But I think the difficult part is that once I become aware about what's going on, and I think the difficult part for me is how to maintain my calmness. I feel like I'm struggling, I'm fighting with myself.
Okay.
I feel like that. I feel like on one hand, I still have a sense of urgency. I still want to beat the deadline. But this deadline basically is artificial, it's not real. Okay. But on the other hand, I want to pull myself and just say, hey, you're in the driver's seat, calm down. Okay. You're not going anywhere until you're ready to go somewhere. So it's like two forces are pulling me, you know. So I try to struggle and try to regain my balance. That's how I feel.
Okay, so given that you still feel that there's that struggle and regain your balance, what occurs to you in terms of the simplicity of maintaining your balance? What do you think the answer is?
Actually, it's too simple to believe. I think, you know, to me the answer is just a change your thinking, you know, that it's not like this. But it's too simple to believe in it, and it's too simple to do sometimes, I think. I think the three principles, my consciousness, thought, you know, all these things to me is one thing, and the reason why is because I look at them about the same thing. And it sounds very simple when people like you explain to us, but I found it difficult, even though the concept itself, no, I hate to use the concept principle.
Okay, great.
Even though the three principles are easy to understand, but are very difficult to do.
Yeah. And why do you think that is?
Because I think it's because you have to see yourself. You have to really understand yourself.
Yeah.
And I think, just like before lunch, I mentioned to Mary and Bonnie, I think it's much easier for us to see other people, okay, and rather than yourself. Just like the other day when we had lunch, you mentioned to me about the doctor. The doctor know how to cure the patient, but they may not know how to cure themselves. And I feel the same way here, because I think maybe it's easier for me to tell my friends, hey, calm down, but more difficult to ask myself to calm down.
Right.
So I mean, the trick here for me is how to really apply this, whatever you say, curing whatever, on yourself. How do you do it, and how do you practice it, you know?
Right.
I think that's very difficult.
And you did answer yourself. I mean, you really did, even to the piece about it being too simple to believe.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned awareness, you know, that you've become more aware of your thoughts. And when you become aware, then those thoughts, you know, evaporate and you experience calmness. So you know the process. You've experienced the process. What I suggest is that the intellect gets in the way. You know, what we've learned in the past, that it can't be that simple. That we have to struggle to get anywhere. You know, no, what is it they say? No gain,
no pain,
no pain, no gain. I mean, all of that we've learned, that is also almost inherent within us, because we've learned it from the cradle. You know, that life is a struggle. It's not meant to be easy. And so we are. That's the outside, and from the outside in, it is a struggle. But this is what we're learning, you know, the simplicity. We're realizing the simplicity. And so when you describe that example so articulately, there's no doubt you experience something. And yet the intellect is struggling with it, that it can't be that easy. But it is that easy.
You know, time by time, whenever I think about this process, you know, and one thing come to my mind is that means I have to, in a way, surrender myself. Just like when people try to convince me to go to church, you know, then they say, well, you know, believe in God, you know, just surrender yourself. And I'm thinking about the same process right here. And on one hand, I think I understand what they try to tell me, and I think I, in a way, I know I get somewhere, you know. But mm-hmm. but on the other hand, I just don't know, quote unquote, how to surrender myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about this is part of me, and how to let go part of me and be, quote unquote, you know, surrender. And then you regain something, regain your balance. That process maybe is a concept I can understand intellectually, but in real life, how do I do it? Maybe I'm doing it, you know, day in, day out without knowing it.
Yeah.
You know, but when you really ask me this question right now, I think I'm in the same mode of operation trying to analyze it.
Yeah.
But I just thinking about how can you just go ahead and say surrender?
Yeah.
You do it.
How did you do that when you let go of those urgent thoughts?
Maybe I hit bottom. Hit bottom.
Yeah, like you just had enough, hadn't you? You'd had enough of the urgency. And so that, to me, when you talk about surrender, you surrendered that those negative thoughts. That's surrendering. It's not like you're surrendering to anything. You're just, you know, letting go of the negative thoughts, those urgent thoughts mm-hmm. that aren't getting you anywhere. Like if urgency got us somewhere, that would be one thing, you know. But it doesn't get us anywhere. The more urgent we get, the more mistakes we make, the more we fumble, you know, the denser we get.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no productivity to urgency, is there? Or anxiety or worry.
Or guilt.
Or guilt,
yeah.
You know.
Shame. Mm-hmm.
So that to me is the surrender. Like I hear people talk about like surrendering to a higher power, mm-hmm. and that often people will put a form onto that higher power mm-hmm. outside of themselves, and that can be frightening sometimes to people, or it can be maybe to some people also that can be encouraging. You know that mm-hmm. I'll surrender to this higher power. For me, on a personal level, what was comfortable to me finally was understanding that that higher power was inside of myself, that I was also part of that higher power. And so if I was surrendering anything, it was surrendering unhealth, mm-hmm. unhealthy thinking.
Yeah.
You know, unproductivity, ego,
yeah.
whatever name you want to put
yeah.
it, that's what I was letting go of.
Mm.
And the feeling I got back was a really good, productive, healthy,
yeah.
efficient, energizing feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, it's like choice. What did I want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what did you want when you let go of your urgent thoughts, where you just came to kind of the end of it, like you'd had enough? You know, yeah. it was like the ego relaxes, and there you were, calm. Which did you prefer?
More obvious. Want to become.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's the choices. That to me is understanding the principles. It's realizing the simplicity of the principles. And the more you become aware of the simplicity, the more you go there. The more your bottom line gets higher. You know what I mean? Like it used to be that maybe bottom was way down there and you really had to go through hell or through struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, then you kind of give up.
Mm-hmm.
What I propose is that that level gets higher.
Mm-hmm.
Your tolerance for bottom lessens.
Decreases.
Decreases.
Tolerance decreases.
Yeah, yeah. That you don't want, you know, you don't have to go down that far. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I never thought about that.
Because you just get more used to the calmness.
Yeah.
And so when you get the urgency again, it's like, ooh, you know, I don't want to be there. But you don't have to go so far down. You don't have to struggle so much this time.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit less struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, the balance is on the other side and you're more in calmness than you are the struggle.
Mm-hmm. That actually does kind of tie into what we were talking about when we were walking this morning.
Right.
You know, saying that, you know, we know, and it's such a feeling of security that, you know, we know, both of us, you know, like maybe many people have been to that, you know, bottom place that really did feel bad. And we just really know we'll never go there again, no matter what circumstances are around us. And
mm-hmm.
so it is that idea that our tolerance has decreased. You know, we don't need to go so far down before we can access,
mm-hmm.
you know, that healthier way of dealing with it, or just let go of the thoughts that spiral us downward. And so that was kind of seems to
be talking about the same idea.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to take to my bed. I get so caught up in my negative thinking and depression, and you know, feeling hard done to in my life, and that nothing was ever going right. Honestly, I would end up, I'd cry at the drop of a hat. I just would cry. I mean, Ken would look at me, and I'd start to boohoo, because life was miserable, and it was a struggle, and I never seemed to get anywhere. I never seemed to get ahead. Or I'd feel like I was just getting someplace and then something else would come and knock me off, you know. So what's the point? And honestly, I can remember clearly going to bed and just kind of holing up in bed and just crying off and on in my depression. I haven't done that in years and years and years because that's such an awful feeling, you know. Now, that's not to say that I still don't experience, you know, times where I feel like, oh, geez, you know, I'm hard done to, that kind of thing. But it's not at all like that. It's never gone back to that level. Like, just like you say, you know, it's never gone back there again.
It's a feeling of security and power to know that we have that control, that control is, you know, us about that. I think the piece that I, you know, I still do get hung up there, and I know even my verbiage about it reflects that, is that, you know, sort of like you a little bit, Alex, I'm because I'm still sort of thinking maybe about the idea that some of what, you know, creates our thinking, that we have these habits of thinking, you know, we have habits that are, you know, part of messages that we took in, other people's thinking, you know, that we took on as our own or whatever, that creates those places to begin with. I mean, that creates some of those negative feelings that we experience. That, you know, I guess I'm, you know, needing a little more help with just that distinction between, you know, realizing we're thinking and then the thought evaporates is kind of, you know, what I think I hear you saying, versus what I still am putting out there sometimes for myself when I talk about it and think about it, is that, you know, these thoughts come up that are sort of habitual reactions to circumstances, and that, you know, I do kind of think that I consciously change them, you know, that I really do sort of work with that and maybe repeatedly. And so that's where, when I hear you sort of say struggle or these two parts of yourself, I mean, I guess I can relate to that because, and maybe that's just my old thinking about everything has to be a struggle, but it, I guess that's what I think that I do sometimes, and maybe I just haven't evolved in it. But, you know, a thought comes up, well, just for example, you know, in my own personal situation of, you know, making some decisions about having some separation from my husband, you know, just those thoughts about, oh gosh, you know, I don't really want to be able, you know, all of those kinds of thoughts that, oh, now I'm going to be alone the rest of my life, you know, that stuff. And then I, you know, I really do kind of consciously then shift that thinking, you know, I do let go of that and, you know, replace, you know, no, that isn't, you know, I kind of do have this conversation with myself where I say, no, that isn't true. That's, I'm, you know, I kind of do talk about it. And then I am able to make that shift. But I guess it hasn't, maybe it just hasn't become, you know, simple, and maybe I'm still in that place. So that's one part of it. Although what I do find now that, now that I did make that choice kind of early in that decision, I made the choice that I wasn't going to go there and stay there. And now I do find that I rarely have that conversation with myself. I mean, now it has just become, you know, I get up and I've already made that decision, you know, 3 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, whenever it was, and now it is just the way I am, you know, that I wake up and I decide, you know, I mean, I don't even decide. It just, it is that I'm just having a good day, and I've, you know, and it is really that simple now, but, So, but sometimes I do get kind of confused because it does feel like I have to do some work within myself at times in order to shift out some habits of, or somebody else will say something and then it sort of strikes me, or that, I consciously say I'm not going to take on that thought, or, you know, I'm not going to let that come in and become part of my own thinking, and I'll, but there is some, it does feel like there's some conscious work I do inside myself.
Yeah.
And so that seems a little bit to contradict, you know, some of that simplicity. So I'm a little confused there, I think.
I think that still, it's just moving into another level. Like when you describe this other experience that you just had there, that's what you want to, that's where you want to live, is where I hear. You want to live there more of the time.
Right.
So that's what you hold up, kind of, as your beacon.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is the rest of the struggle is still just the habits and trying to replace negative thoughts with more positive thoughts. Like it's still construction.
Right, it's still under construction.
It is. It's still under construction.
Yeah.
So it's like you're moving. You're moving from trying to correct the form, which is more about recognition, to where you just realized where you were.
Right. Right.
That's it.
Right. And it. Right.
And that's life.
Right.
That's how human nature plays out.
Right.
Is it never just gives us clearly across the board, oops, now here you are, and there you are forever after, balance.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It gives you, at least I don't think it works that way.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it work that way, not only not in myself, but in others.
Mm-hmm.
I see it work like what you're describing and what I've described.
Mm-hmm.
You get a taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
You get a realization.
Right.
But that realization is a second or 2 seconds or a minute or whatever, and you live there for a while, and so you know it's there.
Right.
That state is there, right? And then human nature and the game of life being what it is, you go back a little bit into the struggle, but not as much.
Right.
Not as much. That's what it is.
Right. Well, that's good to know. I mean, because I was thinking that, you know, it really... You know, that it wasn't quite that process, that maybe because I was in that I was kind of missing the point, or that I was, you know, that it should be this instantaneous idea of, as soon as I recognize thinking, that then it all evaporates, and there, you know, that the fact that I have to work with it a little bit, you know, represents that I'm really not really getting the principles. So I appreciate that that is just part of the process. And, you know, it is neat, as you're talking, I am really... recognizing that, you know, that this really is, you know, one of the harder choices I've made, and I do really feel good that I really work very little at it now of staying in a good place every day. There's very little struggle in doing that. I mean, there was kind of initially, but it does feel really nice to just have it feel somewhat like my state of being, as opposed to being always, you know, struggling back and forth. It just, you know, they're much more fleeting, you know, when the thoughts come. They do just go out more quickly instead of sticking there and needing to be, you know, shifted so consciously. It's becoming more unconscious that this is just the way that I... am.
That's right.
In the midst of a difficult circumstance for myself. So.
That's another, honestly, it's a beautiful example again of the difference between realizing the principles and recognizing them at work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. And again, that, you know, the thing about the listening, like that's what I heard in my listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the health.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. You know?
Right. And you picked up on that when you said that to me. Out of all the other mumbo-jumbo that I said, you picked up on that one piece, and then which allowed me to expand on it and more fully own it and more fully see that I am doing it. And so you moved me a little bit further into my own process of health by doing that.
Yeah, I could feel that happening with you, too, that you were getting it in that moment.
Yeah.
Neat.
It's kind of interesting when I listen to you, you know, because recently, besides sending you the homework, I need to send a home article to Karen, my boss.
Ah.
And it's, I don't know if it's a coincidence or just it's the process at work. And the article I sent it to my boss is talking about my appreciation of the art of balancing. You know, because I'm thinking about the lot of work we are doing right now is really require a lot of balancing. And when I listen to you, that really triggered the whole thinking, because I'm thinking about maybe when we realize, you know, how to, you know, regain control about ourself, you know, about what you should do, make a choice, whatever. But you always feel like you need to struggle to maintain that state because it's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
We need to ongoing to do the balancing act in order to be to maintain our health. Maybe that's how I feel right now,
mm-hmm.
when I listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I to me the most difficult thing to do is making a decision, to come to realize that I need to make a decision. Once I make a decision, usually it's much easier. So
mm-hmm.
it sounds like that you kind of reinforce that that idea for me.
Just as you were kind of talking, I sort of pictured this, you know, kind of a teeter-totter thing. And, you know, I guess for myself, I kind of saw myself sort of like this with, you know, a lot of the thinking just being, I mean, not even aware that I thought that my thinking
mm-hmm.
had any connection to, you know, consciousness or action or feeling or anything. And then I guess I see myself, you know, then you kind of get to the top and that, you know, understanding sort of starts to come in. And so then, you know, it teeters back and forth, and that's where, you know, for me at least, some of the struggle has been to kind of have to, you know, talk myself through some things. And then finally, you know, it sort of starts to shift where it does become as unconscious a way of being as it was in the other side, but with just this very, you know, positive perspective as opposed to one that, you know, is more negative. So I don't know, I guess that's
mm-hmm.
when you say the word balance, that's how I kind of, you know, take that analogy to myself. I don't know if that makes sense.
Do you feel like you need to balance your ad all the time in order to regain in order to maintain your health?
I don't even think about things like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just find myself living life and whatever is coming my way, I meet it.
Mm.
So I don't think about finding balance or anything, like not in that way. Honestly, that's the best way I can describe it, is that I just get up in the morning and live life, and whatever comes my way,
yeah.
I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, something that Jean said yesterday when we were walking on the beach. We were talking about a deeper level of consciousness, you know, being not only being aware of experience, but of how we create experience. And I think something clicked for Jean as well, and she said something, and that clicked for me
mm-hmm.
because she talked about, I had said, like, it's one thing to be aware of your anger, but then so what? If you don't know what creates your anger, then you're still kind of, you know, aware of your anger, and that's
right,
you know.
Right.
But if you're aware of what creates anger or upsetness, that's coming from thought.
Yeah.
And Jean went further and talked about, well, even if you're in a positive feeling and feeling, you know, joyful, or you're in a really a lovely situation that's very nice, and you're contributing to that, you're participating in that. And so the way she described you know, maybe you could describe that again if it hits you, Jean.
Well, you know, it was really very nice because I was so enjoying the day. It was a beautiful day, and, you know, I was sitting at the restaurant, and so, you know, she talked about that, and then, you know, then I sort of thought about what that meant to me, and she was also talking about maybe it was just about consciousness, but and I was just saying, well, you know, at one level of consciousness, I could look from out here and look at the fact that, you know, isn't that nice? Gosh, I really appreciate what Elsie's talking about, and the background of the blue sky and the ocean, and you know, I'm conscious of that. And but then the other taking that a little further was, you know, also being conscious of the fact that I'm co-creating that experience, that the fact that I'm so interested in what Elsie's saying, and, you know, we're having this dialogue, and, you know, that's all part of creating the reaction that Elsie is, you know, the fact that she's looking so alive and, you know, dynamic and everything. Well, I'm part of making that happen as well. And so is that what you...
That she was more alive as she was discovering that was just...
Again, it gives you that power of, you know, you have power in every situation you're in to co-create with whomever and whatever what you want it to be.
You know, the positive and the negative.
Exactly.
Like, that's kind of what hit me again, because it's always been important for me to understand negativity. So I could move away from that. And I've taken more positivity for granted. Oh, yeah, right, I'm feeling good now, so that's great, nice. But I never really realized that as much, except for the dialogue we had yesterday, that because I felt like I got that. You know, I get that positive stuff. But if I can learn more about how I create the negativity, then I won't go there. Because that's where most of my life used to be lived. I used to live primarily in the world of negativity. And that's why, you know, gradually as that swung around and my tolerance decreased for negativity, that was eye-opening and earth-shattering. And so the more I could discover about, hey, here I go again, I'm creating more negativity, I'm doing that. You know, it's something about my thinking. I'm allowing that to happen, you know. And the other thing that strikes me too, again, words, you know, semantics, but when we talk about control, like that I control my thinking, I don't know what that does for you, but sometimes for me, then there's an issue of having to do something. I have to control. And so it's just something maybe to sit with, because we're looking at innate health as being something that's already in us that we don't have to control. It's more a process of getting out of the way, releasing, uncovering, you know, that's the gift and the hope again. And I even find myself saying, you know, occasionally I control this or that kind of thing. Yeah. And it's just being more conscious, you know, our deepening understanding. The power of words sometimes, the power we give to words. It's not that words have the power, but we give power to the words. And so just innocently, as we were talking with James this morning, when that there was a difference in his power that he came from, his state of being, when he was talking concepts as when he was talking principles. I feel the same thing happens when we talk about, you know, I'm controlling my thinking. There's an issue of I'm doing something as opposed to kind of, you know, my innate health, the wisdom is there, and it's the default setting. There's a relief to me.
Well, it's you know, it connotates a more natural state. Natural state as opposed to
there you go.
One we have to try to manipulate, and, you know, and kind of like, to me too, the word control feels like it's temporary, you know, that, well, you better keep that going, that control, or, you know, that work on it, or it'll fall away.
Whereas
the idea of release or natural or, you know, opening, you know, those other words make it sound like it's there, it's forever, it's not something you have to feel anxious about.
I like that. That's great. It's a beautiful way of putting it. So it's getting simpler all the time, isn't it?
I know it's simple, but I've been kind of struggling. I was sick this last month too, but talk about the thinking, and I just, you know, when I think that I should, you know, be in a better place. And this morning, just sitting here, just kind of my consciousness kind of level went up to realize there I was thinking all of this again. You know, sure, there is some problems within my family going on and some dynamics, but I realized it was fear. And that fear was creating some thoughts. Creating that fear.
Yeah.
It just, you know, listening to different people, and I thought, because there's some things I need to confront at home, or things I got caught up in, but I did that. But I have this fear of confronting my family. Sometimes I don't want to hurt feelings. But, and so I've been kind of having some anxiety lately, and maybe it's what even caused my sickness, or haven't been able to get well. That no matter what the problems were, I really took it to, in here, too much thinking.
I love that you said realized. I realized that's what you said. You said, I realized that I was thinking too much.
So just this morning in class, and going back to my problems, I thought are really problems, but and looking at the innocence in everybody in my family right now, it's just I feel at peace with it. So that's our
beautiful.
Come to that part right now. We had a good talk this morning. She was able to really listen to me, and that felt good. I just haven't been able to talk to anybody. Mavis, I haven't been able to talk to briefly on the phone. She's always been my mentor. I went to just to someone to listen to me.
Yeah.
And Jean listened to me this morning. I felt good just to have someone listen to me. So when we talked about listening today, I just
that's beautiful.
But our thoughts, our thinking, but we're all still creatures of thought. We're all thinkers. Always loved that one picture. Seen it where the guy, he has think, and the next guy has about three thinks, and then next one has a whole bunch of thinks. And I've been a busy-minded person. It's taken time for me to even slow down this year. I think I needed this time off to come to this place. But I have my relapses, I was telling her, you know, but then we don't have to stay there.
That's right.
We know that. It's a matter of one morning. I'm out of there.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, where I was talking about my depression. Terrible depression for 2 years, real bad suicidal thoughts, where we may go there a little bit, not suicidal thoughts anymore, but
Incredible gift. You mentioned that you have such a busy mind. When you said that, then the first thing came to my mind is that you have competition.
She has a busy mind.
But you know, so far, you know, gone through this training with you guys, you know, I always thought, you know, I have to make a comment right here. I always thought the calmest person is you in the room. So why now you said you have a busy mind? So what?
In 8 years, I've been learning this. You should have seen me 8 years ago. It was even first POMO workshop I went to, Joan Davis, I fell asleep that afternoon. It was the first time in years I just kind of calmed down. And I bought the tape, Busy Mind. That was my first thing I worked on. But I still go back to there many times, even during the day, but I'm aware of it. And I go back less now than what I did before. But like you said, that construction, I guess I've been through this this construction. Now it's the healthier side is starting to get a little bigger. The unhealthy is still there, those old habits, but less, I guess.
And I think, you know, that those old habits that are still slowly fading away are a good reminder.
I think so.
You know, when we do go back and visit again, and then we come back to feeling more healthy and uncovering more of our health, allowing it to come out, it's like when you're ill, You know, you've had the flu, and then you come back to your physical health. Mm-hmm. You appreciate it so much more, don't you? You know, I think that's the other key, is that feeling of appreciation.
Yes.
I have a fresh appreciation for appreciation, mm-hmm. if I may be a tad redundant.
Yeah.
It's, if there's a how-to to maintain our balance more of the time, I think gratitude and appreciation are the keys. Mm-hmm. Because you can't feel appreciation and unappreciation at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can only think one thing at a time, one thought at a time. Although sometimes it feels like you're thinking more. It's just, you know, that thought moves at the speed of life. and that's a beautiful thing, you know, is always. I mean, that's another way of talking about where you're listening for health. When you're listening to someone, you're listening for health. Because that's what you can appreciate. They go hand in hand. When you have that moment of health or that moment of being, you know, where you know you're being, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You appreciate that. It's one and the same thing.
Yeah.
Because you can't be appreciative without experiencing health. Mm-hmm. And you can't be healthy without experiencing appreciation.
Yeah.
And that's always just a nice pointer.
That was one of the things that when I really decided that I wanted to feel okay about the decision and how things are going. Somehow, it wasn't anything real conscious, or it wasn't anything anybody told me or anything, but somehow just that little insight about gratitude. And I just decided, you know, that I kind of looked at what I could be grateful for in a different way. I mean, I just, you know, said, gosh, I'm grateful that the sun is shining, that it's beautiful out, that I have my health, and it really did help a lot, you know, for each day to just wake up and feel gratitude that, you know, here I am again. It's an opportunity for a wonderful day. There's lots of wonderful people I'll see and meet today. And, you know, it just really did help me get out of that place of feeling lack, but instead to feel full, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was helpful to me.
I think to realize is when you really feel it.
And you know it.
You know it, yeah.
You know it.
Yes.
And it's a blessing to know.
Yeah.
You know, to be... I don't mean the arrogant knowing, you know, where you know from the intellect or from the ego, because there's a different feeling.
It is a different...
But, you know, there's that knowing. You know, it's like the state when you're just being, and you're just enjoying life in the moment.
Mm-hmm. It just like sort of resonates as right and true.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, that was a lovely time with you all. I really appreciate hearing from you and what you're sharing. Again, I think each one of you have got so much to offer, you know, in your journeys and what you will share with people on your journeys, people you'll touch, way more than what you think you have. I know.
And everybody's so unique, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to, if somebody's into HRM, it's the first time you met them, you go out and have dinner. I mean, it's like you've always known each other.
Yeah.
You're really no strangers. You always have something to share.
Yeah.
Notice that with HR and people that are involved in this. Yeah.
The human spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
The common ground of human.
Something, yeah.
The human spirit.
Yeah.
Should we take a wee bit of a break?
Sure.
Before the rest of the group should be back. That was perfect timing.
Yeah. Oh.